Good morning. Please, in your New Testament, the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to go to the text in just a moment. In Philippians chapter 3. Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those that we have that are visiting with us this morning. Those from this community, from this area, welcome to you. Those in the state and even those outside of the state of Texas that are traveling through, passing through, and you've chosen to come and to assemble with us and to be in the presence of God with us. And we say to you, welcome. We say to you, thank you. We're encouraged by you being with us this morning. Later today at 5 o'clock, BJ will be speaking to us and preaching to us. Today at 5, thank you, BJ, for leading us in praise to our God. You know, we sing a lot of songs, and BJ has led us in some of those songs that reference in some way or another our desire as children of God and Jesus Christ to grow up to be more like Christ. More of Him, that we may be more like Him. Songs like More Like You, or Let the Beauty of Jesus Be Seen in You, or More Like the Master, and then the one that we just sung, Oh, to be like Thee. Oh, to be like Thee, Blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, Thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like Thee. Let's see the text in Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writing from prison to the saints in Philippi. I'm reading from the English Standard. In Philippians chapter 3, let's begin in verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 7. But whatever gain I had, Paul says, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For His sake I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Christ, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know Him, know Christ, and the power of His resurrection and share His sufferings, becoming like Christ in His death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on. I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So brothers, join in me. Join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, And from it we wait a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. More, says the Apostle Paul, more of Jesus that I may be more like Jesus. And in this text, Paul says, now, for that to happen, for that to be accomplished in me, it will never fully be realized in me, but for this to happen in me, there must be devotion. There must be this devotion in doing what matters most. Paul says, one thing I do. You know, we dabble in many things. And sometimes that keeps me, that keeps us from being devoted to the one thing that matters most. And so Paul says, listen, there's a singleness of purpose in me. And that singleness of purpose attaches itself to me. Yes, forgetting the things which are behind, but I must be straining forward. There's that attitude, that idea of great eagerness and enthusiasm, like a runner who runs a race set before him, who stretches and leans forward with great anticipation. But Paul says, I'm straining forward to those things, to what lies ahead. Well, what is it that he's talking about? Well, I suggest it's in the context of what we read in verses 8 through 11. Of knowing Christ, of gaining Christ, of being found in Christ, ultimately attaining the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, this one thing I do. Question. So what am I doing? What am I devoting myself to doing to ensure that I will come into an intimate relationship with Christ and maintain that fellowship with Christ and seek to know more of Christ that I may live like Christ? Is that the passion of my heart? And if it is, what am I doing today to see to it that God will bless me in this endeavor? I have to be devoted in doing what matters most. And Paul says there also has to be a determination, not just a devotion, but a determination in the right direction. And so he says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize. See, your determination is I press, but Paul says I press toward the goal. That's in the right direction. I'm going to say some more about this. I don't believe in this context that the goal and the prize are the same thing. Now, don't misunderstand me. They connect themselves to each other. The goal that Paul's referencing, to be found in Christ, to be more like Christ, to ultimately attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, I haven't yet arrived. I'm still pressing. I'm still straining. I'm still reaching. I'm still growing. But that is my goal. And God helping me to achieve that goal, yes, means I will inherit the prize, heaven. But Paul did not press aimlessly. He did not live his life without goals. The importance of reaching a finish line and a mark. And so Paul adds, in verse 15, let those of us who are mature think this way. Have this same attitude, have this same disposition of determination toward the right goal. More of Jesus, more like Jesus. You got devotion? You got determination here in Philippians chapter 3, but you also have discipline. And the discipline is to be more like Christ, to grow up into Christ, to finish what we start. And so Paul would say, only let us hold true, verse 16. Only let us hold true or live up to what we have attained. Or the New American Standard, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. There's a pattern. There's a standard. There is an example in the Apostle Paul, absolutely. And so Paul would say, listen, follow my example, verse 17. But Paul's not elevating himself. What he's saying in essence is, when you follow my example, ultimately what you're doing is following Christ's example. And not just follow me, Paul says, but follow others who are following. And that is, follow others who are seeking to grow up in Christ and to be more like Christ. But Paul says, unfortunately, I write this to you having shed tears. Because there are many. There are many who are living. There are many who are walking. And their walk is not a walk that you must imitate. Their life is not a life you want to follow after. You see, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul said their God is their own belly or stomach. These are kinds of people that just satisfy their own desires and doing what they want to do, being very selfish in how they live, is more important to them than anything else, especially knowing Christ and gaining Christ. Don't follow them. They're immoral. They're materialistic. They set their mind on earthly things. They're dominated and controlled not by the things of the Spirit that are spiritual. They're dominated and controlled by the temporal, the earthly, the here and now, the worldly. And because of that, the end for them will not be the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The end of those who are enemies of the cross of Christ is destruction. But those who have the mind, the attitude, and the disposition more of Jesus, to be more like Jesus, are those who appreciate and understand their true citizenship is in heaven. So am I devoted to doing what matters most? Do I possess determination in my pursuit toward the right direction? Am I disciplined in being more like Jesus? There's your 3 points. I want to spend about 10 or 15 minutes on some application side. The what if of this sermon. Some years ago, when I was on the golf course, I got to the tee box and teed up my ball. And to be quite honest, Todd, what was going through my mind was, I'm about to impress these other 3 guys that are playing with me. I teed it up. I took my driver back and I took a swing. And let's just say there's just really no other way to describe it than it was amazing. That was one of the longest drives I have ever hit. And I could hear the guys after I hit the drive moaning as I'm thinking, well, they were either impressed with that or intimidated by that or both. But that moan that I heard. Until one of the guys came up next to me and whispered in my ear, Paul, that was the wrong fairway. The groan that I was hearing was one of pity, not admiration. I was in the wrong fairway. I had gone in the wrong direction. And the reason I ended up in the wrong direction is I had aimed at the wrong target. The same can be said about life. Guys, I don't care how expensive your hunting rifle is. I don't care what kind of marksman you are. If the scope on your rifle is off, you can shoot all day long, but you're going to only waste time and shotgun shells. You're going to miss your mark. What is our goal? Spiritually speaking, what is the mark? And we talk about that often, and we should. Paul talks about it in Philippians chapter 3. Please hear me. I fear sometimes when you ask Christians, spiritually, what's your goal? I'm afraid sometimes the response of some Christians, I don't want to be lost. I don't want to go to hell. Who does? But shouldn't it be a higher goal than simply, I don't want to go to hell? Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Jesus talked about hell to motivate people not to go there. But this idea, I just simply don't want to be lost and I don't want to go to hell. If I think in those terms, if that's the ultimate supreme height of my goal is I don't want to go to hell, I don't want to be lost, I can tell you what happens, unfortunately, in too many Christians. They start thinking, then since I don't want to be lost, how much do I need to read my Bible in order not to be lost? How much do I need to give in order not to be lost? How many worship services do I need to attend in a week and not be lost? How much do I really have to serve others and not go to hell? You know, it's kind of like asking parents, what's your goal in parenting? If somebody had asked me years ago, Paul, what's your goal in parenting? What would you have thought of me if I said, I just want to raise my kids and not end up going to jail? Well, I'm in favor of that. Isn't there a higher goal than that? Just keeping them out of jail? What's the goal? What was the goal for the Apostle Paul? What was the mark for the Apostle Paul? Now again, the goal and the mark attached itself to attain the resurrection of the dead and inheriting the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Don't misunderstand that. But what was the goal? He was strenuously pressing toward the mark. What was it? More of Jesus. So he could be more like Jesus. Paul said, listen, I haven't attained this. I'll never ultimately attain this. It's a continual learning. It's a continual growing. It's a continual pressing. But the goal is, in the language of Romans 8 and verse 29, to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. That's the goal. And so Him we preach, Christ, Colossians 1:28. We preach Christ. Warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom. Why? What's the high purpose, Paul, of your teaching and your warning and your preaching? That we may present every man perfect in Christ. We want you to grow up in Christ. To be more like Christ, to gain Christ, to strengthen that intimate relationship with Christ, abiding in Him and abiding in His Word. That's the high purpose of our preaching. And the consequence of that, growing up to be more like Christ, the fruit of that it'll make me a better husband. It should make me a better father. It should make me a better preacher. It should make me a better disciple. It should make me a better Christian. And when we see the vision of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 3, when we have the mindset and the attitude and disposition of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, isn't that going to change in a good way our homes and in our local churches? Because the goal is where it ought to be. is what it ought to be. You ever tried to speak to a 14 or 15 or 16-year-old about going to heaven? I think that's important. We say to our young people, 12 and 13 and 14 and 15 and 16, and especially as they come to Christ and they're a new creature in Christ, old things passed away, all things become new, a new attitude, a new disposition, a new mindset, in a new direction, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we speak to that 14-year-old about, well, you need to concentrate on going to heaven. Those are good words. You ever try to talk to a young person about going somewhere? That's not really on their radar. Not like it is on our radar at the age of 50 or 60 or 70. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying we shouldn't say concentrate on going to heaven. But to a young person, can I suggest that when we talk to them about the goal and we teach and preach from Philippians chapter 3, we're talking to them about one day at a time what it looks like and what it will take to be more like Christ. What he or she needs to begin developing, habits that they need to develop, spiritually speaking, so that they can attain the goal. And they need to press, and they need to stretch, and they need to sacrifice. And the goal is just be more conformed day at a time, day by day, to the image of Jesus Christ. Be like your Heavenly Father. And then, please be advised, we need to share with them the why behind the what. Why they should make that their goal. Why they should be disciplining themselves to develop spiritual habits, to achieve that goal, to grow up into Christ and to be more like Christ. We'll talk about the why behind the what in just a minute. You know, the Apostle Paul. When the Apostle Paul was facing the end of his life and he was writing his second letter to Timothy, and Paul would say, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm about to die. I'm not going to be released this time. I'm going to die. And he's asking Timothy to come to him. Can you imagine if Timothy, or when Timothy finally gets to the Apostle Paul, knowing that the Apostle Paul is soon to die, and the Apostle Paul has been speaking about a crown of life that is yet to be received, and he has hope to receive it. Can you imagine if Timothy comes to the Apostle Paul and he says, hey, by the way, I just got a new revelation from God. There is no hell. Now, please do not leave hearing me say what I am not saying, nor does the Bible teach. There is, and Jesus spoke about, a literal place called Gehenna, hell. The unrighteous, the ungodly will be there unless they repent. But just suppose for a minute, Timothy says to Paul, oh, Paul, by the way, there is not a hell. Can you imagine for one moment the Apostle Paul, upon hearing that, said, oh, well, I'll start cussing and drinking like a sailor. Can you imagine that? I cannot. Why? Because that was not the man that he was transformed to be. That was not in his character. What had been infused in him and in his spirit was more of Jesus, more like Jesus. Here's your why. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Again, Paul says, not that I have already obtained this. I still got some growing to do. Or am already perfect. I haven't arrived. But I press on. Here's great eagerness and zeal and strenuous effort. He says, I press on to make it my own. Listen to him. Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. You see Paul's motive? His motive in gaining Christ, in knowing Christ more fully, being more like Him? Christ Jesus has made me His own. The Apostle Paul never forgot the Damascus Road. When the Lord Jesus said, "You're a chosen vessel of mine," the Apostle Paul never forgot some things that he shared with Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, how that Christ Jesus had judged him faithful and how He had appointed him to His service. How God in Jesus Christ had shown Paul mercy and an overabundance of grace in his life. It's as if the Apostle Paul was saying, you know, the same Lord Jesus that captivated me and seized me has control of me. That's the one I'm going to live for and ultimately die for. He loved me this much. And He believed in me this much. And so I want to serve Him. I want to suffer for Him. I want to live for Him. And I'm honored to die for Him. Because He has gained control of my heart. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, not I who lives, Galatians 2 and verse 20, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith. Faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul never forgot this. That was his motivation. That was the why behind the what. As someone once said, we don't just go to heaven, we grow to heaven. And are we pressing on? Am I pressing on for the prize? What I'm saying is we don't need to see ourselves as just going somewhere, but becoming somebody day by day, from glory to glory. It's a lifelong journey. More of Jesus in order to be more like Jesus. Let's not, my brethren, forget what it's all about. And so if I'm thinking about how little I can serve and still get to heaven, that's not the image of Jesus Christ. If I'm harboring malice and ill will and struggling to forgive, that's not the image of Jesus Christ. If I'm involved in the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, if my God, Philippians chapter 3, is my own appetite, then in the language of Ephesians 4 and verse 20, this is not the way you learned Christ. And if I'm willfully neglecting opportunities, if I'm willfully neglecting opportunities to worship the awesome God who loved me first and gave His Son for me, if I'm willfully neglecting opportunities to bow before Him and to worship Him and to praise Him and to also stir up others and motivate others and encourage others unto deeper love and greater service in my spiritual family who belong to God in Jesus Christ, how does that reflect the beauty of Jesus? Or the image of Jesus? There's nothing Christ-like about that. Let's not forget what it's all about. The Apostle Paul didn't. And I want to share with us this morning that along with the favor from God and the strength from God, I believe that was what enabled the Apostle Paul to endure. His eyes were fixed on Jesus, not on himself. I want to close by taking us to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, I'm coming down to the front. But I'm going to read a little bit and then close out this message. I want you to listen to Luke chapter 7. Jesus had something to teach Simon the Pharisee. Jesus has something to teach me and to teach us today. Luke 7, beginning in verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him. And so he went into the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, and behold, a woman. A woman of the city, a woman who was a sinner. When she learned that Jesus was reclining at the table in this Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind Jesus at his feet, she was weeping, and she began to wet Jesus' feet with her tears and wipe them with her hair and kiss his feet and anoint them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to Jesus, "Is this man, or if this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him. She's a sinner." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." Simon answered, "Say it, teacher." Verse 41, Jesus said, "A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both." "Okay, Simon, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And Jesus said to Simon, "You have judged rightly." Then, turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Simon, you gave me no kiss. But from the time I came in, this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Simon, therefore, I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." You know why sometimes my love has grown weak? And I ask, how many services do I have to attend, and how much do I have to study, and how much service do I have to render others? You know why my love grows weak and I start asking all those why questions? I've forgotten the cross. And I've taken my eyes off of what God in Jesus Christ has done for me. He has forgiven me. And so John said, "See what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us," 1 John 3 and verse 1, "that we should be called children of God." See that love. So I'm asking you this morning, do you see that love? Do you really see that love? If we do, we'll make Paul's goal our goal. More of Jesus, more like Jesus. That'll take care of attendance problems. Amen? That'll take care of these immature ways of thinking in myself at times and living. Why? Because I've been captured by Jesus Christ. And it's evident in my life. And so if you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, do you see the love of Jesus Christ on the cross for you? Do you see the blood that he shed for you? Are you willing to respond in faith? In faith to the call of the gospel, coming to Jesus who died for you acknowledging your sins, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and then being buried in water, baptized, immersed in water, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have those sins cleansed and forgiven. Let Jesus save you today and cleanse you of your sins, but you must come to Him in faith. If you're here this morning as a child of God, you've fallen from grace. Repent of that, turn from that, and ask God to forgive you. If we can help you, to encourage you, won't you come spiritually while together we stand and while we sing?